All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Friday. Was that very loud? Did you guys not bother to check the levels? I mean, did we blow out people's ears and speakers? Jeez. I'm sorry. Flex and James over here. But like I arrived before them this morning. I woke up at 3.
Sure.
And I was like, this is a tough one because you can't really go back to sleep for an hour. So you're like, well, I might as well get up. So I got up and I actually didn't know. I had so much time. I didn't know what to do with myself, which in the morning is an unusual thing.
It's weird.
So you're like, what am I going to do with all this time?
You just end up like, oh, let me go. Let me be the first one in.
That's what I did.
Let me go to the job. Like,
by the way, okay. Look how great Simpiwe looks. And look at this. Look at this. She's sitting there with her Stanley cup and her laptop.
Yes, darling.
And her Friday outfit. And I mean, it looks so chilled and relaxed. I love this. By the way, I have to give props to the whole production team, from Flex and James to Marvin and to Simpiwe and James and Ben, actually, for saying last Friday that this is how we must do the show from now on. I mean, doesn't this look better?
Yeah, I'm very proud of the fact that we influence Gareth.
You guys are influencers, like in the biggest way possible.
Come on now. Does this mean I can get more money? Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Aren't you getting more anyway this month? I think we had this conversation. Shall I change that?
No, I'm just trying my luck just to see, you know?
All right.
Like, get it on camera.
I think this is the first time we've had an on-air salary negotiation. This may be the first time we've done this. It won't be the last. Simpiwe started the trend. Let's see what happens. Good morning, Shani. And good morning to everybody all across this country. I was so ready. I was prepared. Look at me. We're dressed like it's midwinter. I was prepared for freezing cold temperatures.
Yes.
And it's not as bad as
I thought. It's windy.
Yeah, it's windy, but that's an August thing. And today, for most people, let me just give you the good news right up front. Friday, payday. I mean, this is good. Spring day is on Saturday.
Ooh, are we brying?
Please don't be grumpy. This is the greatest time of year. Don't be grumpy, all right? If you're grumpy this morning, keep it to yourself.
Yes.
It's none of our business. We don't want you pulling us down. I don't care. We don't care. At least we're the honest people who will say to you, we don't care. You're going to be grumpy today? Take it elsewhere. We're not interested. So much to get to today. Ben's going to join us a little later. We're also going to be joined by a guy I haven't spoken to for a while now. Craig Hines is going to pop in. You might know who he is. He's a famous South African musician and somebody who's been at the forefront of South African music for such a long time with a band called Watershed. I mean, they're like OGs in terms of South African music. So very excited to have him in the studio this morning. And he's got some stuff to tell us. We have the new wealthiest person in Africa. We got to talk about that. Yeah, I know, Simpiwe. That's what Simpiwe cares about. Didn't we just talk about money? All right. Let's start there. So first of all, who's the richest man on the continent? Well, we thought it was Aliko Dangote from Nigeria.
Yebo.
But no, it's not. It is Johann Rupert. He's just surpassed Aliko Dangote as Africa's wealthiest person. Estimated net worth of $14.1 billion.
Wait, what? That's a lot of money.
That's a lot, huh? As of 29 August 2024, he's built a business empire, expanded into luxury goods, food, media, private healthcare, tobacco, telecoms. The guy's got a finger in every pie.
Yes.
And that is called diversification.
Hallelujah. And if they want to adopt, I am here. I'm ready to be adopted and I'm part of the Rupert's. I'm ready to change my name.
Simpiwe, you really are.
You know.
Simpiwe Rupert.
Yes. I mean, and it will stay like that. That will be my maiden name.
That would be it. Tetwas be damned.
What have they done for me? So if they're watching and they just need a young 20-something-year-old in the family, I am here and I shall make them proud.
There we go. That's her audition. That's her pitch. The wealth of the family comes from holdings in companies like Richemont and Remgro.
Wow.
But he actually inherited a substantial amount of money from his father. Of course, his father was a poor boy. He grew up in Graaf-Reinet, I think. I read his biography last year. Anton, the original Antoine Rupert, started off literally taking Bucky's loaded up with manure.
Sure.
An old Bucky that he borrowed, filled it with manure and compost, and would sell it to farmers. Like per Bucky load, he had to deliver each one himself. Then he went into tobacco, but he started off at the lowest level, and the guy worked himself up. And obviously, Johan has inherited a lot of that money that was established by his father, but he's made way more of it. Way, 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 way more.
Yeah.
I mean, usually how it works is the one generation makes the money, the next generation spends the money, the third generation gets no money.
Mm.
That's not what happened in this family. So whether you like them or you don't, and I can't understand why anyone would dislike them unless you're just plain old jealous, these guys are bucking that trend by the looks of things. Involved in various publicly traded holding companies, Rupert's net worth increased this year was mainly due to strong performances in the luxury goods sector. Cartier, theirs. They own Cartier. They own Dunhill.
Woo.
Yeah, some nice brands there. Hey. Really, Simpiwe, you'd like all of their brands.
Sure.
Some very, very popular and well-known luxury goods brands.
Yes.
Mm. So that is who is the richest man in Africa as you wake up this morning. Means you and I still have work to do. We got a long way to go.
As well, though.
Why?
Like, because all the calls, you know, sometimes when your business is out there, right? Now people are like, well, I know you have the money.
Yeah.
You can't exactly say no. And then they have this expectation of like, when Simpiwe comes crying, I'm just going to receive whatever.
That is a good reason why you should never tell anybody how much money you have.
Yes.
And you should never tell anyone if you win the lotto. If you win the lotto, you keep that shit to yourself, right?
But there will be signs. Yeah. They're saying that...
there will be signs. Well, what would your first sign be? Simpiwe rocks up in a Lamborghini and she's like, I didn't win any lotto or anything. I just decided to use my other car.
Just somebody giving me just even a wrong look. I'll be like, you know what? I don't need this.
I know what you would do. You would buy that person's life and you would put them into slavery for you. I know what you're like. Some people would say, oh, so you got the attitude with me? Well, now you belong to me. I've bought your mother and father and your sister as well. Some people, you can tell if they had power, they'd be dangerous. You're one of those people.
Just like, you know, absolute power corrupts. So come on now.
So speaking of power, we've just launched it's kind of a relaunch. For those who are fans of Blind History, which we have done, I think, 7 seasons of, Anthony Medera and I, we did a couple of these over the course of the last 8 years, and they have won awards. They've been nominated for awards, but we're entering a subset of the Blind History podcast, which we've called Blind Herstory. We've taken some of the women from history that we've covered, and we've entered them for a Grammy. So there's a podcast category. It's a new category for podcasts at the Grammys. We're going to see if we can just show some of those visuals. I want to give props to the team here who've been putting some unbelievable visual design together.
Look at that.
I mean, look at like the font is historical, but the colors are modern. It's just beautiful. There's Catherine the Great, one of the most incredible autocrats in Russian history. She basically brought Russia kicking and screaming into the then 18th century, but... I mean, she modernized the country. It was basically feudal before her.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have we got there? Let's see. There's Hedy Lamarr, the famous actress and scientist, a real breakthrough woman who also for a while dated Howard Hughes, the crazy aviator and billionaire. Mm-hmm. Hedy Lamarr, very, very exciting. Who else have we got? We've got, Eva Perón, married to Juan Perón, who was the dictator in Argentina post-World War II. She was known because she was extraordinarily glamorous. She also came from nothing, married this army general, became the first lady of Argentina, famously played by Madonna and various other actresses in the role, the musical written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, all of that stuff, and a fascinating story. She was eventually embalmed and buried, and her corpse was stolen.
What?
They've relocated it, though, and they've buried her again.
Was it in the
UK? No, it did do a little traveling. I mean, that's what happened. But she's regarded as being one of the famous first ladies of history and a powerhouse in her own right. I mean, like one of those women who used all of her charms to get ahead, a real winner. Who else? I'll give you a little retrospective here while we're sitting chatting on a Friday morning. Wu Zetian, the first female empress of China.
Oh.
And what a powerhouse. I mean, this woman, she probably ranks in the top three of Chinese imperial powerhouses. She built so much that still stands all over China today. She was a centrist. She managed to bring everything under her control and authority. Yeah. You know, China, that's a big country.
Yeah.
She expanded her influence beyond the borders of China, into Mongolia, into Europe even. She was a well-known character throughout the age in which she lived, and absolutely a stunning example of just every culture produces brilliant, brilliant people. And of course, women are no exception to that rule, although people say it's history. So where's herstory? Well, here's blind herstory. We decided to bring it to you. Dr. Robin says, blind history was an absolute favorite of my daughter and I. You guys nailed the content, the pace and length of your pods. Miss it. Don't worry. We're looking at doing some more, but we're going to rework these. So if you haven't heard them, or if you have heard them before and you want to take a listen, these are the things to check out. We'll put all the links in our social media and all the rest. Carl says, images are very aesthetically pleasing. Hope the content is as good. Good luck. If you win, I will regard it as a personal victory. And you can. That's why we need you to listen to them and comment and share them and all of that stuff. I mean, hell, if we all win a Grammy, I mean, I'll share it with you guys. We'll put it right here on the table. It'll be part of the show every day. Bitcoin Butt says, when did they find the time to podcast their story? Very, very funny. But at least you're thinking, Bitcoin Butt. Is that all the ones that I sent you? Did she know Kung Fu? Kung Fu, I think, is Japanese, but okay. I'm not even sure. It might be Chinese. Cleopatra. Oh, what a story. Cleopatra is like the perfect story. Love, of power, of tragedy, all of it, just spectacular from beginning to end. She lived at a time where she was a lover of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony.
Yes.
Arch enemy of the Emperor of Augustus. She had to marry her brother. That was a disaster. The Ptolemaic dynasty didn't last very long after her. In fact, she was the last ruler in that dynasty and the last pharaoh of Egypt, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah. And actually a Greek by blood, the Ptolemies. They were put in authority originally by Alexander the Great, whose one chief general was the original Ptolemy, Soter, they called him. And he was the one who built the Library of Alexandria, the greatest repository of knowledge in the ancient world, which was burnt later on by the Christians. Bit of a mess, that. Unnecessary. Let's not burn libraries. That would be a very, very bad thing. By the way, next week, Wednesday, we'll be talking to a guy from the Joburg Heritage Foundation.
Ooh.
About the city library, which is just sitting there. And yesterday, I actually asked the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture, mm-hmm. Gayton McKenzie, about it. And he said, he'll look into it. So we're trying to do what we can to save libraries and culture in this country since Cleopatra came up. Elizabeth I, you see there as well. So listen, I mean, you got to go and check these out for yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into a long diatribe about all of them. All extraordinary women. I know Women's Month is just about over, but we thought we'd throw this in as a sweetener at the end of it and make a proper fuss of some of the amazing people in history who have done so much to make civilization and the things we take for granted today. So go and check that out. Why is the Facebook icon on my phone black with a blue F? It used to be white with the blue F. Have you seen yours?
No,
do you even have Facebook on your phone?
Let me check, because that's for old people.
Okay, just put it up on the screen. I took a screenshot of this morning. I saw it when I was driving into work. Okay, this is very odd.
Mine is still blue, but let me update, because maybe.
No, I'll show you. Look there. See that? That's how mine looked this morning. Now, I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe they're saying, like, you are not allowed to use Facebook anymore. Maybe that's what they're trying to tell me. But I think that looks weird.
It
does.
And I tried to look up. I didn't get any. Like, there's a Reddit forum that's trying to come up with a reason why it might have changed. They think it might be a glitch. So I don't know for sure that it's actually meant to be that color. Maybe it's just on a few phones. Apparently, some people, when they've updated, it went like that, and then it changed back to the original. But if anybody knows,
please do tell us.
Yeah, we'd like to know, because when these things happen, it usually, you know, it's like there's some virtue signaling happening, or they're trying to join some movement. Or Alex Cage says new software update with iOS. Okay, maybe that's it.
That doesn't look nice.
Mapelo says mine is blue with a white F. Yeah, blue with a white F. Yeah, that's how it was. That's how it should be, right?
Yes.
Facebook got me blacklisted. Well, that's okay. I don't use it that much anyway. So I think I'll be all right.
You'll be fine. You don't need that app, honestly.
No, I don't. I really don't. You know what it's useful for, though? It's the only reason I use it, and we've spoken about this before, is birthdays.
Yes.
Because I've got like all these people who I'm actual friends with, and then people who I either work with or people who I see every now and then. And maybe the only interaction we'll have over the course of a year is a happy birthday. And it's nice to do that for people. Doesn't cost me a lot of time and effort. Happy birthday. Keeps us in touch. And then the next thing you say isn't like, hey, do you want to meet about this business thing? You're like, hey, did you have a nice birthday? You know, gives you an in. Anyway, it's not for everybody. Do you know what a Nepo baby is?
So I think I do.
Okay.
From my understanding. I'm going to use Hollywood as an example.
Good. Right?
Is if you, Gareth Cliff, you make it in Hollywood,
yeah,
and then you have kids,
yeah,
and then your kids get jobs because they are your kids, if that makes sense. So they'll get jobs based off the fact that they're kids, you know, they're the kid of
you are exactly right.
Gareth Cliff, not because they have talent, not because of anything. Like, and usually they get positions that are very high up. So they don't need to start at the bottom. They'll just become the CEO of the real network.
And it's because they've got connections.
Yes.
And because they don't have to establish those relationships themselves, because their parents have done it. So they just get like grandfathered in.
Yes.
And you are exactly right. Now, I didn't know what that term was. So you're way smarter than me. I had to look it up. But we've actually got the definition here. Mm-hmm. So we can just Nepo baby. Term referring to people whose parents have succeeded in similar or related careers, so full marks to Simpiwe. Implication is that because their parents already had connections, the child was able to use those connections to build a career in those industries, usually used pejoratively to indicate a celebrity whose fame and success are perceived as unearned or undeserved. So yes, I mean, there are lots of people, even in South Africa, that we can say, Nepo baby. Yes. And it's not a nice thing, by the way. If someone calls you a Nepo baby, it's not a good thing. Right?
Not at all.
Tracy says, like Zuma's talented daughter, pure nepotism. Well, there've always been examples, right?
Yes.
Throughout history. I mean, isn't the ultimate Nepo baby royal families?
Yes.
Like ultimately,
yes.
That is the biggest win. If you're born and your father's the king or the prince or the something, you inherit unearned advantage.
And you just get to live your best life because... Huh. You were born into royalty.
Be ginger and you can be untalented and you can be mentally ill like Prince Harry and you can still get ahead. So unfair, right?
Yeah.
Where to us because we just pissed off our fathers on kings.
Yeah, or like they're not like millionaires or like billionaires.
Would be nice.
And they don't have those kind of connections. So
it would be nice.
Mm, yeah.
So, Simpiwe, speaking of this, apparently... No DNA, just RSA.
Yes!
This is something which is trending. Tell me about where this comes from.
Okay, so South Africans are on a winning streak, right?
Yes.
In sports.
We are.
We are just killing it left, right, and center. The Springboks, when they played against, I think it was Australia, they won, and then the Protea, and then, why am I forgetting him? But either way,
Trikus,
you know? And then we had the Olympics, and it was just like, and so this term came about every time South Africans did something amazing, they'd be like, no DNA, just RSA.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
And recently, like, I think a couple of hours ago, if I'm not even mistaken, we have won, I guess we can say we have won.
Go on.
A new record, Bayanda Walaza is the men's 100 meters under 20 world champion.
I love that.
He broke.
Is it the Paralympics?
No, this is like a competition.
Normal athletics.
Yes, world athletics that's taking place. And he took first place in the 100 meters. He's 19. He's in matric.
Bloody hell.
Officially the fastest. Ben, was he in our
Olympic relay?
Yes, he was.
Ah, and that's the guy.
He was a silver medal guy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so he's doing because, the things.
Again, like by the way, thanks for changing our set while I was away. I love it.
Just the laptops look a bit odd, don't you think?
I hardly use it. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have to use a laptop on Friday because I'm giving you stuff. But
yeah, but that's fine. You put it on your lap or you put it on the arm of the chair. I don't. You like, you make yourself comfortable.
Yeah. No,
be at home.
I like this best.
So well done to this guy then, Walaza.
Yes.
So he's also running the 200 like straight away. He's just, really? He's running every day. It's like, he's the Peter Steptoe of young sprinting.
Third place as well. So third place, I think, was taken by Bradley. So we took first place and third place.
Shit.
And it's just like these kids are doing
South Africa's
amazing.
Winning, hey? How are we looking for the rest of the weekend? We got some rugby on.
Well, winning's a culture, right? So once you get these guys.
Collar, for heaven's sake.
Oh, these guys are running in
did
here.
Did you just wake up and like, throw this on?
Yeah, I did a bit, actually.
By the way, I saw you having an argument with someone on X about Viapier, Western Province. What's going on there? Just before we get into athletics, and Simpiwe was telling us about no DNA, just RSA. But just let's start with that since I brought up the collar.
It's a weird thing because I know the Americanization of sport has meant that all of our teams have funny names.
Yeah, because of corporate sponsorships and things.
Yeah, so Western Province was an original heritage team from the Cape Town, you know, Western Cape. Sure. So they're Western Province. You used to get Eastern Province, then you had Natal, Transvaal. I mean, obviously, these are words that you can't use anymore because they're from the bad old times. And then Super Rugby came around, then everyone was just having funny names. Like the Sharks still stayed the Sharks. And the Lions became the Lions. The Bulls became the Bulls. And the Western Province became a Stormer, which no one really knows what a Stormer is.
No.
It's silly. And then that's how it's kind of gone. And that's the professional franchise team. And the Curry Cup team and then the age group teams are still the best look of proficiency, Western Province. And now the head of, I think, Western Province Rugby or whatever they want to call themselves says they want to drop Western Province completely and then just use Stormers, I think.
That's not good.
It's stupid.
We don't like it.
It's like, this is a nice traditional rugby jersey. I like wearing it, even though they're so dog shit this season. But no one knows what a Stormers jersey looks like because it just changes all the time. It's like a mishmash of colors.
Yeah, I can't tell you.
It started out being this like abortion of a rainbow with orange around the edges, and then Bobby Skinstad basically designed a Hilton jersey because he went to Hilton, and it all became black. Yeah. I think it was that, and then it just became an amalgamation of this, the original Stormers rainbow, and then it's like that.
Who knows? It's like that trance flag, which
it is
just they're always adding new things to, and it's just gross. It's like the ugliest thing you've ever seen.
You can ask any Stormers fan, "What's your favorite Stormers jersey of all time?" and they'll be like, "Don't know."
Yeah, because it's hard to guess.
And then
What was the fight about? You were standing up for this.
Go back, just call it Western Province and drop the Stormers.
Yeah.
Because it's got something. It's got a heritage thing. I think heritage is a big thing with all brands because that's what sports teams are.
Yeah.
So go back to that.
Yeah.
It looks cool. I mean, go back to this jersey.
Yes.
And obviously jazz it up a little bit, I think.
But I like that jersey. That's a nice looking.
I think you look, you know, it makes men look handsome and manly when you run on a field and you've got a proper jersey. You're not in a mishmash of colors that look like it could be any sport.
In heraldic terminology, we would blazon your jersey as being Barry, Argent, and Azure. That's what you call that. I know, I just spoke a language you guys did not understand.
Like, wait, what?
So if you're a herald or Barry? A vexillologist, which is, you know, people who deal with heraldry and vexillology, since we're talking about design a little bit earlier on. Barry means bars of different colors.
Ah.
Argent is white and azure is blue.
Okay.
So if you say that to any herald anywhere in the world, they'll be able to draw that and get the colors right.
Pop that into a team song, Cliff, and you're
but think about how efficient that is.
Yes.
Barry, azure, and argent.
Yeah.
Just four words. And you can describe exactly what that looks like.
Three it's words.
Cool. Well, Azure and Argent. I'm being
particular. Okay, gotcha.
So, I mean, still, four words to describe something that is
a well, pattern. There we go. I mean, I was quite crude in my argument on X, but you've just made a proper one. Let's go with that.
There we go. But I like that. And it's also, it's a strong kind of contrast. I like the, you know, blue and white's nice. Anyway, we did get distracted. Sims was telling us about the no DNA, just RSA. We are winning everywhere at the moment. It is good to be South African.
Whoa. Proteas 3-0 against West Indies. They lost three games.
Who really thinks about them anymore? I mean, someone said in the comments, I look like I'm going to go and play cricket with this jersey on. But
So you've actually got a fun fact quickly throw in there. AC Milan, the football team. Mm. They were originally a football and cricket team.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Hope I haven't fucked it up. And so their away kit this year is that.
Really?
All whites with a little collar.
Okay. Mm. Nice. Okay. Sims is the only one who's not wearing sports regalia.
Well, she's an All Black, which is awkward for this weekend.
Yeah, because the All Blacks are taking on the Springboks, which is a whole other story. What are our chances?
Well, we're the favorites. We're going in legitimate favorites for good reason. That All Black team hasn't really... They lost Richie Mango to money in Japan. They lost the likes of Brady Retallick, Sam Whitelock, who were like our Buckies and Eben and Matt Field kind of ilk. And I think they're
Water beer, the Barretts.
Well, there's three of them still. but the assistant coach said, I'm out of here.
Oh,
last
wow.
week, he just stopped assisting coaching. So they've got their problems. We obviously got our problems with our locks being mostly injured, but Evans come back like the Undertaker in WWE.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, we're very much the favorites.
It was so funny when Drickus went on with Evan and Sia, and someone saw Evan, I think it was Rogan or one of his guys, and they were like, Jesus, look at the size of that guy. They were genuinely like shitting themselves. They're like, forget about him. Like, you imagine fighting that giant.
So Drickus is a big man. We all know this. He's a big guy.
Yes, he is.
And he walked out there looking like he's with his two favorite sports stars. It looked like that because it was
he
that.
He looks small.
And that's the thing. And
he
then,
so and then even compared to the rest of them, and then
even and Sia lost their shit when he won. That's how engaging that sport is, and everyone's so involved. And to see the two most prolific Springboks, the biggest Springboks, getting like that and fanboying so hard, it was beautiful.
Well, you'll be pleased that I spoke to the Minister of Sport yesterday.
Nice.
And I asked him about this, and he said they are doing everything they can to get a fight here to South Africa, likely to be in Cape Town.
Oh.
They're going to have to make a temporary arrangement to cover the stadium, but they're thinking about how. The Mayor of Cape Town is all in. Minister of Sport's all in. Dana White's all in.
So that's the thing. Dana White actually announced this week, he was asked, is Drickus going to fight again or they're saving him for a South Africa card? And he said, we are going the South Africa card. So
nice.
They're in. They're committed. It's just, hell, as great. I said this before, start saving now. It's going to be a very expensive event to attend live, but it'll be worth it at the same time. Because again, this is a legacy play for Drickus. This has been his dream forever.
Yeah.
And he's a guy, he's a man of his word. Like, he puts on a show. He wants this to be the biggest thing in his life and everyone else's.
Well, I think it's so great. I mean, where do you go from being an absolute winner in every category of the sport that you are the best at? Where do you go from there? Well, you bring it to your own country.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, because we haven't been able to do that with the F1, right?
Mm.
We can't have a golfing major because those are only in other places. Yeah. We have Cricket World Cups. We had a Football World Cup, Rugby World Cup. So this is it.
Speaking of the Minister of Sport, 23 minutes ago, he said, gold everywhere. Apparently, Udeme Okon, 400-meter final, gold.
Incredible.
So we are kicking ass and taking numbers this week. What a great week for sport, Ben.
Yeah.
In fact, like, let's be fair. The last couple of weeks have been bloody amazing.
Well,
as a non-sports fan, I find myself excited.
It's genuine excitement. This is the thing. It's genuine excitement. I was perplexed how for an entire week there was a story about Floyd Shivambu being a crook at one place to go be a crook at the bigger crook place. I looked at that. I just thought, what is that? Like, it's actually not a story. Nobody benefits here.
Yeah.
Journalists are just showing how shit they are.
Well, media, you know, these guys are so desperate to be relevant.
Desperate to just
And like South Africa's in a good mood at the moment. We've got all these stories that are inspiring and positive and optimistic. And you imagine the kind of miserable sacks of shit who are sitting in a news office going, well, let's find something horrible to report on because we're not getting enough clicks for our shitty news site.
You've just absolutely summed it up.
Right?
These sacks of shit must be so, they must hate, their lives must be so terrible.
Unhappy, miserable people.
So like fundamentally screwed.
Yeah. No one wants to fuck them. That's part of the problem.
Well, Cliff, you're just spitting truths here now, huh?
Come on. Don't you producers sit there and go, ooh, you know it's true. Have you seen some of these people? Do yourself a favor. Next time you read a horrible article in the news, like something comes up on your feed by mistake or whatever, just Google the name of the person who's written that article. You will like have the opposite of being turned on will happen to you. Just watch.
I mean, it's a general rule in life is that try be hard to kill and try be fuckable.
Yeah.
If you can get those two things right, yeah, you will fundamentally be happier and add value. And people will like
some people,
you.
Why are you?
Wait, is that the secret?
Yes.
It is. Be hard to kill. So if therefore you're nice, fit, healthy, strong, and smart.
I mean, you're hard to kill. You are streetwise as hell.
Exactly. Wonderful quality. Yeah.
Okay. And then the second part, be what?
Be fuckable. If you're not fuckable, then something's gone wrong.
That's true.
Or you're just fundamentally not nice, which is also not something you should be.
I mean, people should want, like, that should be a reason that you wake up in the morning, you're like, today
is the day.
But you don't have to actually make it happen, but you have to have it in your head that today someone is going to want to fuck me.
But you see, this is false confidence because there's some people that walk around with that kind of cool and thinking, I am the best thing that's ever happened to this earth.
But look how happy they are.
No, like, but for the rest of us, they're just annoying. It's just like,
well, you say
no
that
one would
because,
ever do anything with you.
Well, you say that. Somebody will. You know, every pot's got a lid. Somebody wants to fuck James. Somebody wants to fuck Flex today.
Can I just
wow, you guys have just been used as the lowest possible hanging fruit, right?
Well, it's just that they're there and we're here and we're talking to each other.
I'm just exposing James. Somebody rated him an 8 out of 10.
Well, there we go. Proving my point straight away.
Wow. Yeah, look, I mean,
his mom does make the best comments on the show, I gotta say. She's phenomenal.
She's the best person ever.
Let's just get back to sport because I think there are people who come just for that, Ben, on a Friday. So give us some ideas.
So guys, today on Beyond the Scoreboard, we've actually got quite a lot to get into because the Paralympics started, the final tennis major of the year.
Yes.
We've got the Tour Championships, which is like the final major in the tour sense for all the best players in the PGA Tour.
Tell us more.
Then we've got Currie Cup, we've got Rugby Championships, and then we've got so much football. And football's exciting right now.
Right.
And this is the season that Arsenal's going to win as well. So I'm super triple excited. I am so sure. And I'm sure for good reasons too. But let's get into the Paralympics. So obviously we're hugely excited about the Olympics. There was 32 sports there. 329 medal events. So it was like very spread. Mm-hmm. There's about 10,000 athletes. The Paralympics has got 4,400-ish athletes. There's 22 different sports there.
Okay.
But then there's 549 medal events. So as you would think that there's a 100-meter track, but then there's like 7 or 8 categories, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There is
for the different disabilities.
Yeah. So I put a thread out on X, which I do every Monday, just breaking down what the Paralympics is about, because there's no ways that I can sit here right now and educate you and make it interesting.
Okay.
I mean, cerebral palsy has 7 categories of its own.
Hmm.
So how you get classified is that what is your ability to perform in that sport? And if you have, say, you got like no limbs or you're blind or you got one, like there's different categories to all that to make as fair as possible. And all the athletes get classified the whole way through. So even when you start your career as a Paralympic athlete, you might be a T6 or whatever it may be. You may change in the course of your career as your ability progresses or perhaps worsens.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get into that today. But out of the 22 sports, you're still going to have all your favorites, right? And then there's also goalball, which is a completely Paralympic sport where you got to be totally blind. And basically, it's like volleyball, football. You got to throw a ball into a net.
Wow.
And there's bells in the ball.
That's how you know where it is.
Yes. And then there's boccia. So it's similar to petanque and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Where you throw a leather sack towards a jack. And obviously, if you have a certain ability, you might need a ramp to help you. So
you're
going to see
it's
things.
It's really complicated.
You're going to see things. Exactly. It's so hard to try and tell you what you're going to see. But I'll tell you what, for the next 2 weeks, you're going to discover so much. And for example, like powerlifting.
Yes.
It's a bench press because a lot of guys don't have legs or there's the ability to do that. They can't. So you get the big bench press as your power lift. But you'll also get taekwondo, rowing, swimming, table tennis, judo, cycling, tracks already taking place. There are already medals around that. Badminton, canoe, volleyball, which is sitting. There'll be wheelchair rugby, which is hardcore.
Oh my God.
Because a lot of them don't have any feeling in waist down or whatever.
So they just go for it.
Go for it. And just hurt their hands or whatever.
And how do you tackle someone in a wheelchair?
You just stop them. your chair
smashed into their chair. So violence.
I think it's called murder ball. Like, it's got a nickname of some sort of chariots of fire. I don't know. There's some things you make up your own one.
Chariots of fire.
Make up your own one.
What do they call it? Bump 'em, dodge 'em.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So there's no sports like diving. There's no pole vault. So there won't be a para armin de plantis.
No. Yeah, well,
you won't see para penis on the bar.
Oh, no.
But you know, you can't have it all.
Yeah.
Para penis. Did not think that was going to come up today. So right. China have got no chill. Hey, straight away they're top of the medal standing already. They've already won 4 gold medals.
Sure. Yeah, but it strikes me that China would be the kind of country that might even make people disabled just so that they could enter the Paralympics. Like China is like
that.
That's
a fair point, actually.
You know, they would take a perfectly healthy, perfectly able person, and they would say to them, yeah, we need some entries for the Paralympics. We're going to break your knees.
The T44 sprint is a bit low, so we're going to take one of your...
No, just like I'm just saying, I wouldn't put it past them in North Korea.
But just like the Olympic Games, you're going to see China and America at the top there because it's a resource game. So some of these countries don't have access to prosthetics or wheelchairs or these kind of things. Yeah. So that's what we've got to look forward to, guys. I can't go any more into it because I will just be giving you straight information.
Did you watch the opening ceremony for the...
I did. And the French being the French obviously made it so moody and pointless for 20 minutes. Well, dry ice came out of pianos and it'll got all... Why can't people just be happy? For fuck's sakes. It's just...
Yeah, the highlights of it and I just
looked awkward. You're right. It looked awkward. But it's a French thing. They love being... Like, if everybody's going this way, the French go that way. So
it's just weird. It's like, it's a sport. It's the coming together of some of the greatest sporting stories. These people... Some of them, if it wasn't for the Paralympics or sports, they might be like on stumps somewhere in weird countries with no hope or no activities. Paralympics brings these people together, and you got some dipshit playing a piano and looking like he's about to commit suicide. Like, guys, read the fucking room / city. Be happy.
Just watch the highlights of it.
But then all the athletes came out and it was fine. Yeah.
I'll give it a go. On your recommendation, you told me the Olympics are going to be good, and I'm eternally grateful for that. So let me give the Paralympics a try.
And I appreciate the fact that we got a good time zone again because it's there. It's there.
It's not going to be like that for LA.
No, or Brisbane, which we're going to. Oh. So the US Open tennis is on.
Mm.
So tennis is cool during the winter times for us South Africans because of the time zone, right? Yeah. We see Roland Garros, it's the French Open, it's the clay.
And Wimbledon.
It's all like sweaty Mediterranean men. Wimbledon's great because it's the, you know, the grass. Everyone's in white and it's Djokovic and Alcaraz. Mm. And then it goes to the US Open. It's like, it's late at night. It's hard court. It's America. But it's still a Grand Slam. It's still got the best talent out there. And there's so many cool dynamics that go into this one. Yannick Sinner had a bit of a doping issue.
What kind of doping?
Well, he says...
Hardcore heroin?
No, he said he used like a moisturizer or an SPF that tainted his...
Oh, you're joking.
Tainted substance or something.
But imagine the troublesome people would be in.
But because he's a high-profile individual and he's a great story for the game... People are saying that he was given a free ride.
Judge of tennis. Can you imagine she'd let all the druggies through?
Like, you just, it's just a moisturizer.
Yeah, it's a story. Because a lot of these doping things, guys, it's not like they've just put syringes into their bum holes. These are trace elements that come through. Yeah. So when you say doping, it always sounds like Ben Johnson, but it's so trace. Okay. It really isn't a huge thing.
Give them a chance.
So we've got Yannick Sinner, who obviously got a bit ill. He's quite sickly. I think that's what happens when you get quite tall and ginger, your immune system, because it's made you tall and ginger. It's depleted elsewhere. Yeah. Not a scientist. Don't quote me on that. But he's been a bit poorly this year, but he's a still damn good player, right? And he's still the top seed somehow.
Okay.
Alcaraz is there. He obviously lost to Djokovic at the Olympics.
Yes.
Djokovic is there. And then you've got those other fringe guys like Zverev and Medvedev and other devs. And they're going to be in the mix. So it's an exciting, exciting time for tennis. And then on the women's side, you've got Iga Swiatek. So she's the Polish number one. She's phenomenal. She just beat this Japanese girl like it's her job, which it is. 6-1. But then also Coco Gauff. She needs to deliver now. And this is the tournament where, obviously, it's the home tournament. She's American. So she's the third seed on the other side of the draw. She's dropped the ball. She's made excuses. But this is the tournament where she must come to the fore.
Quick one. Do you think that she will be umpired fairly?
Are you suggesting she's not umpired fairly?
No, but we've seen, and the reason why she's gotten so much attention, not because she's talented, but because there have been calls where people have like,
everyone's got
that wrong.
Everyone's got calls.
She started crying and then she lost the game.
That's on her.
I'm just asking.
No, I'm being purposefully aggressive with you here because everyone gets umpired. Everyone gets calls. You think Iga Świątek gets her life is rosy every single day.
It's a free pass.
She's got to work.
I mean, does the umpire have to start singing, "I'm in love with the coco" in order for her to get ahead?
Well, Gareth, if you believe some mainstream news outlets, yes.
Okay.
I think ESPN named her like the greatest tennis player of this generation. Meanwhile, she's won pretty much fuck all.
But please, where ESPN have named people things before they've done anything.
Yeah.
That's another case, this one.
Bit of a fan shocker. Emma Raducanu has already been knocked out. Extremely attractive woman. Gareth, yeah,
should look her up.
Her milkshake brings the boys to the yard, as they would say. She's out. She's gone, unfortunately. She's a previous champion. Right. She's not there to be watched. So the Tour Championship in golf is quite an interesting thing. So you play the whole season to get the points to get into the FedEx Cup. And when you're into the top 30, this is when you money, so much money. And they shower you with money. But what also happens is if you've been the best player throughout the season, you start with the best score for the tournament. So they don't get you all the way through. Say you've been dominant like Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele. You get a cool score. So Scottie Scheffler started the weekend.
Let's just be clear, those are two different people. Not just two ways of pronouncing the same.
Yeah, there she are. Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler and
Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele.
So they've been the two best players this season. So Scottie starts the tournament on minus 10 straight away. Okay. Xander starts on minus 8, and then you go on increments of 1 down the order of merit, so to speak. Okay. And Scottie, being Scottie, thought, well, I've got an advantage, I'm going to make it even better. He shot 6 under yesterday, so he's already leading by 7 in this tournament.
Wow.
To carry on our musical theme, Scottie doesn't know. Scottie doesn't know.
Well, he doesn't know the Scottie feelings of the people he plays against because he just goes and just trumps them.
So don't tell Scottie.
So Colin Morikawa also very good yesterday, but Scottie with a 7-shot lead with 3 rounds to play, and we can close the book on that one. All right, guys, we got to talk some rugby. Springboks.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
As I said, the Springboks are favorites for a very good reason. They've got a great team. They've got depth. They're playing at home, and they've already won 2 games away.
Ellis Park, right?
Ellis Park. Mm-hmm. So everyone thinks that Ellis Park is this amazing fortress. It's not. We've lost our last 3 out of 4 games there against the All Blacks. The All Blacks find a way of winning. But this All Black team, I think 12 of them have never been to this country. So what happens now in New Zealand rugby since we left is that they've become more village than village. And it's not great. The hairstyles have got worse. These Oaks are just, they talk worse now. We civilized New Zealand. I know it sounds strange and it's a big sweeping comment, but we did. We civilized New Zealand and we gave
gone. Ever since they elected that Jacinda Ardern, everything went backwards.
But that's when we left Super Rugby.
Yeah.
It's funny how those two things.
Yeah. That is not a coincidence.
Have Paralympic
Ben
themselves.
Is pointing out where civilization comes and goes.
And it's gone. It went with the teeth. So we knew there was going to be surprises in the forward pack because we don't have any locks. And Ruan Nokia will be taking that place, number 5, with Peter Stefanovic having to come in. The big surprise, though, was Apalera Fassi, the weekend special, was brought in at the cost of Vili LaRue. Now, Vili, we're trying to ease Vili to 100 caps, stalwart, you know, get him there. Mm. And then Rossi's like, nope. This is going to be a huge game. Show me what you got. And the balls of this Oak are fantastic. He is that South Park meme with the wheelbarrow walking around. That is Russi. And he's having so much fun with this. The press conferences are absolute gold. So he's not sheltering Sacha Feinberg and Gomazulu. He's saying, you're good. This is the greatest game to show how good you are.
Hmm.
So he hasn't gone for safety first like other coaches have done in the past and gone, I'm going to pick experience here because it's the All Blacks and it's Ellis Park. Russi's saying is, you know you're good. This is the biggest stage for you to prove that. So that is why he's such an amazing coach. He's an amazing guy to be around, an amazing positive spirit to all these players. Imagine playing for a guy like that or playing for some Oak who looks down his moustache at you and goes, no, you're too young. You're too green. Rossi doesn't care. Rossi just cares about the green and gold, not about you. And then the All Blacks, they've gone and thankfully retained Damien McKenzie, who I think is shite at number 10. And for some reason, they've left Mark Talia on the bench. Mark Talia's dad, South African, and his mom's obviously Kiwi.
Oh.
And there's 3 Bowden Barretts.
No, perfect.
No, there's not 3, but there's 3 Barretts. There's 3 vice captains. This team is a bit of a, I don't know. So I would say box by 9.
Wow.
It's it, it,
It Are we placing be. A bet on that?
I'll get to the bet in a second. The other Rugby Championship game to look out for this weekend is Australia losing again. This time they're going to be losing in Spanish out in Argentina. This Aussie side is crap. We know they're shite. And they're probably gonna try to pull that, oh, we don't want to scrub anymore ref system. They're dodgy. They're just shite. There's obviously Curry Cup on the go right now.
Can I just point out, you will never in a million years get this kind of honest commentary on SuperSport. I love you guys. So I love you guys. You bring us great visuals, but Jesus, there's not an insight given. This is value. This is why we keep Ben around. Solid gold.
And happy to be here for it. Curry Cup will be played outside of the test. So there's a lot of Friday game, Sunday game. But basically, it's a two-horse race now. The Bulls and the Lions have shown they're the best two teams. The Sharks have taken their inconsistency from everything previously into this tournament. And the Cheetahs are a legacy team that just, I don't know, they've run out of legs. So football, we'll end on football and Formula One. So sure, Formula One is... We were saying this on the Bounce Show yesterday. It's at the most exciting time possible because Max Verstappen, who has always been the most dominant and hardcore guy to race against, is being Verstappened by Lando Norris. Lando Norris overtook him last week, yes, and then went on like he'd beat him by 25 seconds. So how it works is that Max has still got a healthy lead. He's got a lead of 70 points with 9 races to go. Okay. So if Lando finishes first and Max finishes second, it's a difference of 7 points. So they'll get 63 points. So he can still win, even if he just is in Lando's slipstream. But Oscar Piastri is a great teammate. Checo Perez is nowhere. He's like become the Man United of Formula One. He's there. He's got money behind him, but he's mid-table.
There's some moans coming from the producers.
So we've got the Italian Grand Prix at Monza this weekend. It is obviously a big, amazing circuit that's been there for years and years and years. You've got to think the McLarens are going to do it again. And in doing so, they're going to ultimately overtake Red Bull for the Constructors Championship. But it's so exciting. It really is. There could be 4 different guys that can win it. Ferrari will always somehow win one race. I'm not sure if they've done it this season. I don't think they have yet. Charles Leclerc. No, they won one in Australia. Okay. Not important now. Okay. But in football, we've got Arsenal beating Brighton because it's their season. It'll be at 1:30. Leicester versus Aston Villa at 4. West Ham versus Man City at 6:30, all go on Saturday. And then Sunday, Chelsea's population are going to hosting Crystal Palace at 2:30. Newcastle versus Spurs, really big game there at 2:30. And then the game of the weekend, slash the month, slash the season so far. Man United versus Liverpool at 5. James and Sandile have a bet because those are their teams.
Okay.
So they're going to go hammer and tongs there. And if you like the local football, we're at the semi-final stage of the MTN 8. So a bit of a shock this week. Sundowns lost to Stellenbosch. That game will be replayed because it's 2 legs of the semi. Mm-hmm. So Stellenbosch have a 1-0 lead over Sundowns. That second game at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And then Pirates will be taking on Cape Town City 3 o'clock on Saturday. And their aggregate is 1-1 currently. Magic. So all to play for, so much sport. And then there's just Paralympics on the burn for 2 weeks.
Okay. Magnificent. Thank you, Ben.
Most welcome. I was going to say, for a bet this weekend, and I'm quite confident about.
Go on.
If you take the All Blacks, give them 9.5 points on Superbets. So you give them a handicap. And then you take Argentina and you take away 6.5 points as a handicap because they're going to beat the Wallabies by 12 and up.
Right.
You can get a pretty decent 1.8 on the odds. So your hypothetical 100 can return you a hypothetical 280 into your Superbets account.
Superb.
So that would be my little wager.
Don't forget, Superbet supports responsible gambling. Winners know when to stop. Strictly no under 18s. South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. Make sure you get onto that ASAP. I'm going to play something for you quickly. Sam Neill, the actor, most famous, I think, from Jurassic Park.
Okay. Yes, correct.
He was asked a question. I mean, it's difficult to kind of ignore the fact that the person asking the question seems to have, she's got some problems. Pronunciation problems. Yeah, it's something going on there. But ignore that. Pay attention to his answer. And look, it's a good question. So, you know, unless you're like me and you're distracted by people who are not, you know, average, ordinary, normal, this is a very interesting little interaction. So take a look at this.
What is the best lesson you learned from your parents?
Oof. Wow, that's a really interesting question. That's a really, really interesting question. I think there were... I don't know why that question has moved me so much, but it has. My parents were of the generation that went through a lot of things. They went through the Depression. My mother lost her father in the First War. So she grew up without her father. Yeah, so they went through a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. But they were very stoic people. And I'd had a year at university where I'd done bugger all. I was acting in plays and trying to find a girlfriend and things like that. So it came to exam time, and I realized I'd done almost no work. It got me very anxious. Anyway, I got home, and Mum said, "How are you, darling?" And I said, "Oh, Mum, I think I'm having a breakdown, and I've got exams in a couple of weeks, and I don't know how I'm going to go." And she just looked at me, and she said, "Well, you're just going to have to pull yourself together, aren't you?" And I think that was the best lesson I learned from her, is sometimes you just have to pull yourself together. Mm.
Right.
Tell you what, everyone in the audience is easy to kill and not fuckable. Did you see? Did you see the camera pan over those people?
Whoa!
It's interesting. That was your takeaway, Ben. I mean, I thought like there's something in that, right? He's talking about a generation of people. You could call it stoicism. You can call it just hardness. There's a hardness about like previous generations. I include all the ones before me because I don't think my generation's particularly strong either. But like, how many people just say that to a kid anymore? Like, you'll just have to pull yourself together. Like, that's the best advice in 99% of situations.
Yep.
There's the 1% where you need more. You need to sit down and talk to an expert. You need assistance of some kind. But 99% of things, the right thing to say to a kid or to a young adult or to someone who's struggling with something who's beyond young adult age is like, pull yourself together. Like, I love that.
May I just add that you learn amazing things once you pull yourself together. Yeah. You learn nothing from sulking. You learn nothing from being down on yourself
and someone else or venting.
Yeah,
you learn nothing. This thing that everyone does on the internet now, all they do is they throw out all of their problems into the world and they think that by unburdening themselves of that, they're solving the problem, but they're not.
If something is easy to do, you learn nothing and it builds nothing about you. So when you have a sulk or when you want to have a vent, it's easy, right? Anyone can do that.
No, I love it. But just play the beginning. I think you missed the beginning because I just want
the
you to
question.
See like
what was the actual question from that woman question, with no chin.
Yeah, just look at how and also listen. It's a speech impediment or something.
What is the best lesson you learned from your parents?
Parents.
Okay.
All right, stop. Parents.
Shout out to film stars. Hey, I know they all go to Turkey to make their hair better.
Stop it. Just stop it.
No, I'm
what is the most important thing you learn from your parents?
I'm glad you asked that question.
I know it's a great question.
Yes.
And you know what? This is 2024. You don't have to be able to speak properly. If you've got a good question, you get the job.
Okay.
So I'm glad she was there. She asked a good question.
I've got a question. Do you think anyone in the audience on all their anti-anxiety medication pulled themselves together after that speech?
No. I think they were very disappointed in that answer.
Yes.
They
were expecting him to say something else. They were expecting to be
spoon-fed. I was moved by his answer. I was like, oh, shucks. Like, you know what? Life sometimes comes at you with both hands and you feel like, you know what, I should give up. And then you realize, no, actually, I should just try and just get up. And no one, I think I can say confidently, no one has ever said, oh my gosh, I wish my parents hadn't taught me that. I wish I hadn't learned that.
You All Black supporters aren't all bad. Like,
yeah. I'm so glad my mom or dad taught me X, Y, Z. Or I'm so glad they protected me from this. I'm so glad they were so tough on me on this because now I can resist a lot of things. So for me, that was a great answer. Like, I'm like, wow. Like, you know,
you were going to say something about actors in Hollywood. What was that all? You were going to go on a rant.
I suspect a rant. No, I've gone past that. No? I think another thing to bear in mind with parents is that you should only judge your parents once you become an adult as well. I think when you're a child, you're such a fucking moron.
Mm.
And you are always looking at what you don't have, and you look around at everything else. And comparison is a thief of all joy and intelligence a lot of the time.
Yes.
And when you get there, you're going, okay, so you went through this and you reacted like that. Fair call. Or you did that. Amazing.
Yes.
When you're a kid and you're just thinking about shoes or fucking PlayStations or other dicky things. So that would be my other lesson about after you pulled yourself together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consider that.
I just thought that was a nice clip.
It was a very nice clip.
Moments before the show, and I thought, you know, there's some good stuff for
And to Friday. All people with no chins out there, that wasn't a slight on you. I wasn't attacking you.
No, I mean, it's Paralympics time. Stop. Yeah, that's not.
Stop. Gareth made it worse by saying that. Don't you dare stop me.
All right. Listen, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got lots more, including Nazis and meth.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. You don't get more clickbaity than that. And Ben has a lot to vent about with Nazis and meth. That's coming up. Don't go away.